What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast, episode 74. And this episode is brought to you by Zalman. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Zalman, it shows you kind of what they're promoting right now. We really appreciate their sponsorship with me this week. As I always do this intro like you're never here or something. But as always, we have Derek here. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's going on?
We are back after a week off. Did you like the week off?
I mean, it was nice to just have a Friday to myself, yeah.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy doing the podcast. It's fun. It's good to get into
Yes. Yes, it's good to talk about tech, especially because it's sad to say, but summer is slowly coming to an end here.
Yeah.
And that means we'll have a ton of new products coming out for holiday season, which is super, super, super exciting, I feel.
Yeah, like... It sucks that summer goes away because that for us that means that it's gonna snow and get really terrible. But like there are a ton of good things that like come with like fall and stuff.
Yeah, and then you have all the new games coming out, which we'll talk about at the end of the podcast. We have some news on that. And then you have all the new products, and then you have like it is colder, so we're inside more so yeah. that we can play these games and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, it's a good time to do mods, build stuff.
Yeah, so, but I don't want to think about that because we still have at least a month, another month, I would say, of summer.
Yeah, at least. So, and then you get fall, and it's not so bad yet.
Yeah, it's not too bad in fall. So, yeah. So let's just jump right in here. And I'm kind of tired today. I don't know why, but let's jump right into reviews here. And I took a look at two really cool products, and one. That I've been itching to get my hands on some new graphics cards, some of the new stuff. So I took a look at Sapphire's Nitro Plus RX 470 OC graphics card. That is a very long product name. But it is their overclocked Radeon RX 470 graphics card. And again, these new graphics cards are really awesome to check out because... From the previous generation of cards, it's such a leap in performance, and at the cost that you're getting these cards at is just astounding. Most of these cards perform pretty much on the higher end of last generation, and if you remember, the higher end of last generation was $499, $599 for graphics cards, and these cards are from $200 to $300. So it's a huge performance jump, and like I said, I've been wanting to get my hands on a card like this. And Sapphire's Nitro Plus series launched with their RX 480. This is the RX 470, so it's a slight step down, but it is factory overclocked. Still has the same cooler, so it's gonna be nice and cool. High quality components and all that, and it performs really, really well. Again, it's so nice to get a new like a newer card and have that. Massive performance jump, not like just little incremental that we saw for what the past 3 years or 4 years from both AMD and
over for the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it was just like this slight performance boost. You didn't see much. Now we're seeing this massive performance boost again. This is a, I guess I would consider this a lower end card, but it performs up to you know the higher cards from last generation, which is really awesome.
What kind of performance are you talking about?
And this is on par with like a 980.
Okay.
From last generation. So
what was this one? 100 and
I believe this card is it's a little over 2. Oh, hold on. I have to look. Yeah. It's a little higher than the it's 209. So that's okay. A little bit over the reference, which is 179. It is factory overclocked as well. But okay. Still, I mean, around $200,
yeah.
You're going to get a card that's going to play every game that's out right now at its highest settings at 1080p.
Yeah, it's and you're even going to get into some 1440p. And
yeah.
You can probably run 4K stuff, but not
You can run 4K stuff just at lower...
settings.
Yeah, lower settings. But still, I mean, this is such a good thing. And, you know, this isn't the flagship card or anything like that,
no.
But this is the performance leap. It's something that I was super, super excited about with this card, just to see if it really is true. You know, you don't really, you can read reviews and stuff, but until you get it in your own hands, you know, so it was cool to test. Being part of the Nitro Plus series, you do have the RGB lighting on the side of the card that lights up, which is cool. Again, for not a flagship card to have that as well, I think all the companies are doing this now. Like, everything's RGB these days.
Oh yeah.
The sad part is that Sapphire had their Trick software, which is their tuning software, allows you to tune the card and control everything, and it's not available. It doesn't work with their Radeon series cards yet.
Really?
So that's kind of a letdown. They said they're working on it, but we don't know when it's going to be out. Nobody knows. So you can only, there's a button on the card that allows you to change the lighting, but it would have been nice to do it through the software, just so you have more control, and it'd be nice to actually be able to tune the card through the software and change the fan profile, all what you're supposed to be able to do with the software, but it just doesn't have the software yet.
Yeah.
So that is kind of a letdown, but
it's definitely something you're going to want.
Yeah, they said it's coming out soon, but they, you know, they were supposed to have it ready for the RX 480 launch. Obviously, wasn't ready then. It's still not ready. It should be ready soon, but we don't know. That's the only letdown, I would say, of this card. But everything else, again, factory overclock, not much more expensive than the reference model. Great cooling, looks good. You know, it competes with all of the other factory overclocked or special edition cards that are out there. So if you are a fan of Sapphire, this card you want to look at for sure. And we reviewed the 4 gig model, but there is also an 8 gig model. So if you want to step up a little bit,
sweet. It looks really good too.
Yeah, it's a good looking card. Full backplate on the back, which is nice. Yeah. A lot of companies are doing that, even with their lower end cards as well. Obviously it's a big selling point for a lot of people, because that's actually what shows. If you have a window in your case, that's the side that's actually going to show up.
Yeah. In almost every case, yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't have anything back there, it kind of looks, not that it looks dumb, but it just doesn't look as good as if you have that nice backplate on there.
Yeah, the backplate just looks a lot better than the plain PCB.
Yeah, so like I said, performed really great. I can't really say much bad about it besides the software, so definitely check out my review. And yeah, I was a lot of fun. I hadn't reviewed a graphics card in a while, so it's pretty excited to get my hands on it and get it all working and see the performance difference.
Yeah, hopefully we get a bunch more in.
Yes, we are in the process of working on that, so I'm pretty pumped. Yeah. The second product that I took a look at this week is also another high-end product, and it's only our second NVMe solid-state drive, and this is the Toshiba OCZ RD400. You're wondering why I'm saying Toshiba instead of OCZ is because Toshiba did buy OCZ a couple years ago. We all knew that OCZ was in trouble. Toshiba bought them, and then they let them kind of run as their own entity for a while. You know, kind of just do your own thing. We own you, but do your own thing. And now they're really wrapping Toshiba or OCZ into Toshiba. So OCZ is going to be their premium brand, if that makes sense. Their enthusiast brand. So when we talk about these products, they're really stressing that they want to be known as Toshiba products, but like the OCZ line, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So they're just slowly going to pull them completely underneath the
Yes. Toshiba brand. Yes. Gotcha. But any OCZ product will be the high end, sort of like Kingston and HyperX. Like, Kingston has their HyperX, which is usually their high-end products for the most part.
Yeah,
so that's kind of, But anyways, we took a look at their RD400, which is their PCI Express NVMe solid-state drive. And this thing is fast, and it's awesome.
Nice.
We took a look at, I can't even remember. What size it was. It is the 512 gig. They sell it all ranges, all the way down from 128 gigabyte up to 1 terabyte. So we took a look at the 512. And this one comes with a PCI Express adapter card. So in case you don't have that really fast M.2 slot, but it's basically an M.2 on that card. And as I pointed out in the review, if you do have a fast enough M.2, you don't have to get the version with the card. You can just get it in the M.2 and you'll save some money. But it's super, super fast. Its rated speeds are 2600 megabytes a second read and 1600 megabytes a second write. And it performed pretty much up to that. Very, very close. Super, super fast. This is one of the fastest drives out there. One of the fastest drives that we've ever tested. And compared to, say, like the Intel 750 series, it actually outperforms the Intel 750 series. It's available in more capacities. And one thing I really want to stress with this, just like when when OCZ got bought by Toshiba, they implemented that super awesome warranty where, like, you really don't have to do anything. Like, you give them the your serial number and they send you a drive right out. You don't have to, like, go without having a drive for a while or anything.
Yeah, they send you the replacement before you send yours in.
Yeah. All that really, really cool stuff. It's all wrapped into this drive. It's a complete solution. And they have their SSD software, which is actually some of the best out there that I've seen. It allows you to easily update firmware. You don't need like a little flash tool or anything. It's all built in. You can monitor temperatures. You can monitor all that kind of stuff. You can see actually, you know, this is a PCI Express drive, so you can see if you're actually connected at, you know, X4 speed that you should be. Cool. A lot of cool stuff is built into the software. So again, I just think this is a complete solution. Has everything. You know, it has that great warranty, so you don't have to worry about it. Available in a ton of capacities. Again, you can buy an M.2 version only, so you don't have to have that big adapter if you don't want to. It's just one of the best drives I've ever tested. I gave it editor's choice because there's really nothing wrong with it. I couldn't find a single thing wrong with this drive.
And it's super fast.
It's one of these drives where you can just load this up and this could be your OS drive as long as anything else. And it is bootable as well. That's a big thing with these. When they first came out years ago, the PCI Express drives, they weren't bootable. This is bootable as well, so you don't have to worry about anything. They've pretty much covered all the bases that you would want with this drive.
What does it save you to buy it just as an M.2?
As far as money?
Yeah, does it save you anything or just...
About $40.
About $40, okay.
Yeah, so if you have a fast enough M.2, so you need PCI Express 3.0 X4, that would give you the speeds that you want. If not, you'll need the adapter card or, you know. Yeah. So you just buy the adapter card version. If not, you can get it about like around $40 cheaper and just the M.2 version, so...
Nice.
So yeah, super awesome. I was really excited that I got to review two super, super awesome products that are just, the performance was just off the charts. So really...
As a reviewer, it makes for a better week when you're doing that.
Yeah, when you have some fun stuff and you're kind of blown away when you know, look at your at, you know, you set your benchmarks to run and they run and then you look at the results and you're like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, believe it or not, we really don't like to write about bad things about products. So it's really nice when they're really great products.
Yes. And they're like, you know, this is all new technology as far as the graphics card stuff go. And NVMe is super new. So it's just cool to check out newer technology as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, it's pretty exciting week for me. And that brings us into Case Mod Friday, which is one of my favorite parts of the site. And that is where we cover a build or mod that's been completed out there in this awesome community we have of builders. And this week we have a pretty, I wouldn't say it's super over the top. It's kind of clean. Yeah. It's called Radioactive UBSB801. That's like a long name too. But it's a, it's has a, you know, radioactive UV kind of theme. But it's in the Be Quiet Silent Base 800, and I haven't seen that many builds in this case.
I don't think I've seen any myself.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I did pick it, because it's unique. Not a lot of people do builds in this case, and it's super clean. I like how clean it is, but I still like that it has that, you know, cool radioactive look to it.
Yeah, you know? It's pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, and it's not overdone. You know, again, as we talk about a lot of these mods, you know, this is something that you could do yourself. There's not a lot of necessarily modding built into this build. Some custom painting and obviously hard tubing on the water cooling, but it's
just... cut some sheet metal and did some stuff, but it's definitely more amateur than pro.
Yeah, and that's what I like about this build. It shows you that you can build something that I think this looks super clean and super nice, and obviously something that I wouldn't have any problem having on my desk. And it just, you know, we do feature a lot of these crazy over the top builds that, you know, both you and I are like, we could never do that. And then there's builds like this where it's like, you know, I could probably put something like this together.
Oh yeah, definitely.
They're
all good, because you need, if you look at too many pro ones, you start to feel like, well, what's the point? I can't do that anyways. So yes. You gotta look at some of these normal ones every once in a while.
And this is by Phenom Design and Photography. I don't think we've featured any of their stuff before.
No, definitely not.
So it's good to see somebody new pop up that definitely caught our attention. And it's good to see a build in this case, because this is a really good case. I believe I reviewed this one. Maybe I didn't. I don't remember.
I don't think so.
I think I did the silent base. No, I did the... No, Derek did the silent base 800. I did the 600.
Yeah.
So they're just different sizes. But still a good build. Definitely check it out. And then, like I always say, check out the Case Mod Friday section because there's a ton of stuff in there. You know, just give you inspiration, or if you just like looking at case mods, there's tons of people just browse through there and just look at the case mods because some of them are really awesome. And like I said, they give you a ton of inspiration. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, for sure.
And we'll move into news. And there's not a whole lot of news. Again, we're sort of in that in-between time, which is not always the best. But yeah. We do have some cool stuff. And one of the really cool things this week was Zotac released a new graphics card that has a full cover water block on it. And I don't believe they've done something like this in a while. So this is their GeForce GTX 1080 Arctic Storm. And this features a full coverage water block on it with RGB LEDs in it. And I think it looks pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, from the renders, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks really good. The water block looks good. It's clear acrylic top.
I'm thinking somebody built the block for them, you know?
I don't know, because usually when that happens, there's like a little logo.
Yeah.
And there's just that little... See that little logo on the end? But I don't recognize that logo.
It makes me want to say it's an EK block, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it looks like it. But it would have the typical EK fitting, or the EK... Yeah, and it doesn't, so I don't know. Yeah. But
I suppose it could be in-house, but usually something like this is... It's too much of a custom part to make it profitable to build yourself.
Yes, but that is very
either way,
true.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it looks really good. If you are a liquid cooling guy and you just want to buy a card, don't have to worry about putting a block on or anything, this is one definitely for you. It has a factory overclock, 1632 megahertz core, 1771 megahertz GPU boost. Just a good-looking card, full backplate and everything. I get excited about these cards these nowadays.
Yeah,
the ones with the water blocks on them and stuff, because not, I mean, we've seen a lot of companies do it, but still not a whole lot of companies do it.
Yeah, and I like that it's not, EVGA always has done one, right?
Yes.
But it's always been like it never felt like a real water block, like a custom water block, you know?
Yeah.
This one, and we've seen a few more nowadays that are like that, and I like that a lot better.
Yeah, I do like that look. It kind of... If you looked at this in a system, you would think, oh, they put a water block on it. That's what it kind of feels
for
like.
Sure, yeah.
We don't know pricing, but it should be priced above their GTX 1080 Amp Extreme, which is their highest overclocked card.
Yeah, they almost always are.
Yeah. So pretty excited though.
Backplate is sweet too.
Yeah, the backplate's awesome. The Zotac does a really good job. Their cards look a lot different from what's out there, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, so really, really good looking backplate on there as well. So
look forward to seeing some actual product photos.
Yes, for sure. Moving on to AMD, their desktop and mobile processors roadmap was leaked, or would appear to be it. We don't know 100% when these things get leaked, but it kind of gives you an idea of what's going on in the processor scheme of things when it comes to AMD. Obviously, over the past couple of months, it's been all GPU news from AMD, not a whole lot about their processor stuff. And you know, over the end of last year, everybody's getting really excited for Zen. That is sort of going to be their big processor push to kind of compete with Intel. Supposed to be super high performance, all that kind of stuff. So the big thing is before we see Zen, we're going to see Bristol Ridge, which is AM4. And AM4 is the new socket for AMD. And AM4 is going to be used on their next three iterations of processors and APUs. So first, supposedly by the end of this year going into the next year, we'll see Bristol Ridge, which is their next generation of APUs. And the big thing that's, from what we've been hearing in all the rumors, the big thing that's holding these back, these APUs are ready to go. They're ready to ship out. But the AM4 chipset and all that hasn't been fixed. We talked about it maybe a month ago. Yeah. They were having some problems with USB issues, and it hasn't been finalized. So they can't produce these motherboards for these APUs if it's not done yet.
Yeah, weren't we seeing partially completed boards missing parts?
Yes. Yeah. So we're not really sure what the holdup is, if they're going to fix it, what's going on with that. But after after Bristol Ridge, we'll see Summit Ridge, and that's what we would be excited about. Our, you know, we're the desktop guys. This is their regular full CPUs. So this is their 8-core, 16-thread Zen CPUs, and these will also run an AM4 motherboard. And they will have TDPs from 65 watts up to 95 watts. And if you remember, their super high-end, I forget what they were called, last generation, they were 95-watt CPUs. So that's when this stuff should be coming out, sometime in 2017. I would expect, based on this roadmap, it's going to be later in 2017 when we're going to see Zen.
Yeah, I would think so.
From what it seems.
Could be a Computex.
Yeah, that I would bet on it. I would say almost 100%.
If they don't throw their own event.
Yeah, if they don't throw their own event or they don't rush it. You know, it seems like they're having problems with AM4 motherboards. It just, you know, It just seems like this stuff should have been out already.
Yeah, I had thought we would have already had Zen.
Because, we've been talking about Zen, all of this awesome performance that it's supposed to have and all this stuff, and it's just...
Actually, I was thinking like school time 2016 for Zen, but definitely not.
Yeah, I just don't think that's going to happen. No. But this does give us an idea. So, you know, maybe CES time early 2017, we'll see Bristol Ridge, which will be the new APUs.
It'll be like the... Just testing out AM4, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the whole idea. And then, you know, and that's still on 28 nanometer too. That's not anything new.
Yeah.
And then we'll move to Summit Ridge, which will be the 14 nanometer Zen stuff. And I like, you know, Computex probably.
Hopefully. Yeah. Not later.
Yeah, so that's kind of what's going on AMD side of things. Not super excited, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's just more waiting. Like, it's just...
It's like, well, you don't want to wait for this stuff because, like, it's already designed, you know? The chip is ready to go.
Yeah.
So the chip is current tech. If you wait for it, it's going to become older. This is the kind of thing that has plagued AMD all along.
Yeah, and that's the thing is... Or, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're going the same place as me.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know... Supposedly by that time, around that time, Intel will be ready with 10 nanometer. I can't talk today. You know, 10 nanometer. And it's just like, you know, then it'll just be behind again.
Yeah.
You know, when this stuff, they have to put it out at the right time or they're not going to, you know, it's very hard to compete against Intel anyways. But I think that, you know, it's a timing thing and they're not going to get the timing right again.
Nope. I think you're right. I think they are missing it right now.
Yes. So, I don't know what to say
about AMD. Really. I mean, it could be phenomenal, but I think that chances are that it won't be. It would have been... I think it was going to be competitive with Intel right now. And so it won't be later.
Yeah.
Because it would have had to be so... For it to come out next year, it will have had to be... better, like quite a bit better than what Intel has right now to be competitive, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of unlikely.
And Intel will have new chips by that time.
Yes.
So. Sorry, yeah. Andy. Sorry, Andy, yeah. You just kind of missed the gun.
You had our hearts and minds and now we're leaving you.
Yeah, so we'll keep you guys updated on that if anything changes as far as timing, but it does not look like it and that's kind of disappointing. So we'll move to Mad Catz, and that's a company we haven't heard from in a while. We reviewed a couple of their mice last year, and I really love their mice. I think that they're the most underrated mice out there.
Yeah, I think that they also have a little bit of a bad reputation.
Yes.
That might not be warranted, necessarily. They still have the reputation that they fail.
Yes. That is very true. Their customer service, I hear, is not that good either.
Okay.
But I do feel that their rat mice are some of the best out there, some of the best that I've used. They, at least for me, they just fit my hand perfectly. The buttons are actually, like, the small little buttons are designed so you can actually hit them. It's not really hard. You know.
Super ergonomic.
Yeah. They're really, when I first got the first one to review, I was like, this thing's stupid. It's just made for looks, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I reviewed it and I was blown away. So they're coming out with they're redoing all of their mice for 2016. So this includes the Rat 1, Rat 4, Rat 6, Rat 8, and Rat Pro S Plus and Rat Pro X Plus. And these will be all redone. It looks like they're going with a new color design, which I like much more than the old one. The old one was like really neon yellow and black just not, it kind of made it look cheap, to be honest. And they're going with a whole new color design, RGB lighting. We don't know the specifics if they're keeping the same sensors and anything like that. But these are all built really well, and I'm just really excited to see how they change. Because they've gone through some big changes over the past few months, as far as people working at the company and things like that. So, you know,
maybe some new blood coming in, mixing things up.
Yeah. And I do like the color change. It makes it more like a gaming mouse, not like a, I don't know, toy, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that just the, like you were saying, the yellow and black, it's just, it's kind of a played out scheme, color scheme from, what, 6-7 years ago?
Yeah. 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 So, well, all those mice, the new version should be released, I would think, holiday season time. So definitely stay tuned, because hopefully we get some into review, because I really like them.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. Moving on to hard drives. I really can't talk today. Something's wrong.
It's okay. Just keep fumbling through it.
I know, right? So Seagate unveiled the world's highest capacity solid-state drive, a 60-terabyte solid-state drive. That is crazy.
It's super crazy.
Yeah, it is obviously not made for consumers. It is for business and enterprise, but it's just cool to see us getting into that higher echelon of capacity when it comes to solid state drives.
Well, it's beyond, there's not even a platter drive that's 60, is there?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't think they even tried to go that high. So
yeah,
now not only has solid state caught up and it's starting to, the pricing is starting to become more competitive as well, it's the capacity, like it's moved beyond. So that's super cool.
Yeah, so I know also this week when this story came out, the Kingston didn't announce theirs, but I think Kingston announced a 30 terabyte one this week.
Yeah, I thought I saw another one too.
Yeah, but earlier this year, back in March, Samsung introduced a 15 terabyte model, and obviously this is so much, you know, larger than that. it's crazy. They say the drive will officially launch in 2017. Obviously, it's again not made for consumers. It's a SCSI drive. It's not a typical SATA drive. And it's part of Seagate's data center portfolio, so obviously this is targeted towards data center customers. Couldn't imagine to tell you how much this will be.
What would you venture to guess?
Oof, I couldn't even tell.
Tens of thousands? That's what I would probably say.
Yeah,
30,000 maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And what's cool is, so it's built on the 3.5-inch form factor, which is cool. And Seagate says that in that form factor, they can scale the drive up to 100 terabytes. Which is so that's awesome for, again, for data center customers who need a lot of capacity.
Yeah. Did you replace all of your platters with these?
Yeah.
Win.
And super efficient, 4 terabytes per watt. So that's nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, which is also a huge selling point for data center as well.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty, it's getting this, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, SSD is getting bigger and bigger, and it's just, you know, this is like, it's finally coming where we're getting the capacities that we want. You know,
where it's like the fastest tech is here to just be what we use, and that's all we use.
Yes. So yeah, we'll let you know when that comes out. Again, nobody here will be able to afford it or get it because it's not made for...
if you can't afford it, you need to be a genius to make it work on your PC.
Yeah, so... And it wouldn't be worth it at that point. And we'll move over to Apple. And the MacBook Pro apparently is getting a major redesign. And if you're a MacBook Pro person, this is a big thing because the design really has not changed all that much. If something doesn't, or something works, don't. What's that? See, I can't even think of these phrases. If something doesn't work, it's something.
Because you're talking about Apple, though, and like.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares?
But, I don't even know. We're not even going to go that. But.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, there it is. See, I'm just not with it today. But the big changes will be that it will have Touch ID built in, which is really smart because, you know, Touch ID is so great for Apple Pay these days and other services that use Touch ID. It's just so much easier than entering a password. Security people might not think it's as secure, but you know, it's just so much easier to use the Touch ID to say pay for something or whatever it may be. And if it's built into your laptop, now you can do it when you're actually at your desktop, not on your phone, which is super cool. And then secondly, this is a big change, and this is a change that I really didn't expect Apple to make, is that they'll have touch-sensitive function keys that are OLED. We've seen this on Lenovo laptops and a couple others, and that's a big change for Apple because they're very like design-centric type thing, and this doesn't seem... I don't know.
They don't usually follow suit either.
Yeah. So that is kind of interesting. If you are a MacBook person, obviously you're excited about this because it's something new. And if you're looking to upgrade, it's something to look forward to.
Probably if you're a MacBook person, you think that this is the first time it's ever been used, so you're super excited.
Yeah, that too.
they invented OLED probably, I think.
Yeah. But it is nice that... I think the biggest thing is the Touch ID because I use it a lot on my iPhone.
Yeah.
And if I'm here on my PC, it would just be nice to have it all integrated. But
since you're there at your PC, that won't be, you know, useful.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, they're expected.
This news article.
they're expected to. Oh, another. Actually, the coolest thing about this, which I think is the best thing, is the new MacBook will have USB Type-C with Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah,
That's exciting.
Is amazing.
If you don't know what Thunderbolt 3 is, I don't know if you should be listening to this podcast.
Daisy-chain those monitors.
Yeah, so you could... It's a storage and data technology that's super, super fast, 40 gigabit a second up and down. So it can be used for a multitude of things. It can be used for storage. It can be used for displays. It can be used for a hell of a lot of things. And the fact that it's going to be built into the MacBook, which means a lot of these... You know, a lot of people who use MacBook Pros are video people, so you could have super, super fast storage connected, which is, I think that's going to be the main use for it.
That's a big deal for that, yeah.
Yeah,
I think the coolest part of Thunderbolt 3 is the daisy chaining monitors together. You can do a surround setup off of this laptop.
Yeah, and you with Thunderbolt 3, you can run two 4K monitors off one connection.
Yeah.
And no problem. So that is the big thing. I think that's better than anything else that we talked about.
I think it is because I don't care about the other stuff. I think that other people are going to get more excited. I think that the thing that people will talk about the most is that they put an OLED touch panel at the top of it and how revolutionary that is.
That's like everything. That's just how Apple people are because they don't pay attention to other technology.
Exactly.
Yes. But again, if you are excited about a new MacBook Pro coming out, you'll get some changes. Obviously, we're most excited about Thunderbolt 3, but there will be some changes, and it's nice to see it because they haven't changed in a while.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Usually, what they just do a processor update.
Yeah, it's usually just processor update, maybe adding a port, like you know, or something, or
changing display resolution,
changing the power connector to make it so it doesn't fly off, or you know, just like little stuff like that. Yeah. So let's move on to gaming, and there's some pretty awesome gaming stuff this week. The first thing we'll talk about is Battlefield 1, which I am actually very excited about.
Oh,
And a new trailer came out that goes over some of the weapons and how they are very, very, very lifelike, and they're very true to the time of Battlefield 1. And
sort of.
What do you mean?
Well, like, they're kind of, like, some of them are, like, made-up weapons, though, like, sort of. Like, they all existed, but they weren't really used.
Yeah. But, I mean...
But anyways,
But the, this video goes over a lot of the weapons and how the team behind Battlefield 1 has been actually using these weapons and seeing how they feel and the weight, and the, it's all going to be in the game, and I think it's going to make it feel more lifelike.
Nice.
I hate games when, like, you're carrying a pistol and it's, you know, you, your character interacts the same as when he's carrying, like, a massive rocket launcher.
Yeah.
You know, I just, I think that whole dynamic of making it, you know, if it is heavy, your player's going to run slower, it's going to move slower, or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, Battlefield 1, super excited for. I will be getting it. Comes out October 21st. We should have, like, a party.
We should.
We should have a Battlefield 1 party.
Like a 24-hour?
Yeah, where we just play it and stream. We'll talk about that after the podcast.
Yeah.
That'll be fun, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Moving on to Quake Champions, which is the rebirth of Quake from, what, 12 years, 10 years? A long time.
A long time.
So this trailer actually came out last week, but I want to talk about it because it's awesome. Yeah. If you ever played Quake 3 Arena... Or just like the gameplay and how it's super fast and just super, like, you know,
twitch,
and the rocket twitch, jump.
Go.
The rocket jump and,
yeah,
you know, this, the first gameplay trailer from Quake Champions came out end of last week, and it is badass. It brings back that super fast gaming speed, the super fast FPS speed. I think FPS as it should be. Something that's kind of gone away from FPS. There's a lot of things about this game that are bringing it back to the roots. Like, there's no loadouts in this game. At least I don't believe so. Like, so yeah. So you can pick up as many weapons as you want. You're not limited to one or two weapons. Like, this is true FPS how we grew up playing it. At least people our age.
Grab a character and go.
Yeah. So watch this trailer. It will bring you back to this classic Quake 3 matches that I played hours of.
Dude, watching this again, like, it's all about that rocket jump.
Yeah, it's all about the rocket jump. If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Quake rocket jump, or just watch the trailer, or just Google Quake rocket jump, and you'll see some amazing things.
Yeah.
So that is one of the first story about Quake, and the second one is super exciting, super awesome. Is that developers behind Quake says that consoles can't support its vision of the game, which basically means this isn't coming to consoles. Yeah. At least current generation consoles, it's not coming to.
It won't play, and they don't care. Amazing.
They said it's a PC only thing. It's that kind of game, and I like that because, you know,
finally.
I think games get ruined when the console counterpart comes out a lot of times. You know, when we first started playing games like this and it was our PC only thing and it was just that PC only game, you kind of felt cool. You know, it felt like a
community, you know?
Yeah. And it was just like when, like, you know, Xbox, when like Halo came out or Gears of War came out, like you could only play those on Xbox and it felt good to, like, I'm playing this. I got this Xbox to play this game.
Yeah, like we're all part of the same ecosystem.
Yeah, and so I really like that. And I like that they're standing behind their vision. They want this to be played, you know, as they say, full stop on a PC with maxed out graphics and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They don't want to slow it down, the FPS cap and everything like that,
to make money.
Yeah, just to make more money off consoles and everything like that. So I think that's super awesome. I think that I like that they're standing behind what, you know, the kind of game that they want to make. And they're not really worrying about consoles. This is, you know, Quake was originally a PC game, and it's one of the most popular PC franchises. So let's keep it on PC and not worry about consoles.
Yeah, and I think that, like, it's like a must play just for that reason. Like, support them in what they're doing if you're a PC gamer. Like,
Yeah.
They deserve your support at this point because they are doing what we've needed for years for developers to do.
Yeah, and it's just a good thing. We don't know when the game will be out. I know there will be a beta in 2017 sometime. Not sure when, but we will let you know once we find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty pumped for that game.
If you got something to say, go ahead and jump in the comments on our news article and join these guys that are very passionate about it.
Yeah, for sure. It's always good to just kind of shove it in the face of the console gamers.
They're so, yeah.
We won't get into it, but...
No, it's not... Like, I don't hate console gaming, gamers. I just don't ever do it.
Yeah, I mean, I had an Xbox and an Xbox 360, and I did enjoy gaming on them, yeah. For sure. But
I spent hundreds of hours on the couch, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Just for me, gaming looks better on PC. It's more functional on PC.
It feels better. I feel like I'm, like, so much more, like... powerful on the PC.
Yeah. And like, I'm sorry,
really play the game,
but gaming and FPS is meant to be done with a keyboard and mouse. I don't know.
Yeah. Anybody who thinks otherwise is just actually flat out wrong.
I wouldn't say you're flat out wrong. Our good buddy Jack plays games with his controller on PC.
He's wrong though.
Yeah, I do feel you have more control with a keyboard and mouse. That's just me.
Definitely more finite control, I would say.
Yes. But the biggest thing is that their games are going to look better. They're going to play better. It's just how it's... Yeah.
Well, I mean, you designed it for it. Good. Keep it on it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, we are super excited also for Quake Champions. I will be getting that game as well.
Yep.
And our last news article is actually super cool. And since we didn't have the podcast last week... last week in the news, the Internet Archive, which is what it basically is, the Internet Archive, they put every issue of Nintendo Power online.
Nice.
Which, if you had Nintendo, Super NES, N64, that was like the magazine. It was like, you know, and this is before the internet and before anything. So, like, it had game codes in it. It had, like... walkthroughs of games, so if you were ever stuck, you had to subscribe to this or get your parents to subscribe to this magazine and then wait every month to, you know, get this. It was just awesome.
I think that people growing up without experiencing the magazine life are missing something.
Yes,
there's something special about that.
Yes. So the Internet Archive put that online last week, and then this week they put over 10,000 Amiga titles. And I never had an Amiga PC. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit older for us, if you're around 30, 32, 33. The Commodore Amiga was one of the very first PCs that had really good graphics. I forget what chip, I can't think of it, that made this all possible.
I
but
played
it was
a 64. Was this before or after?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
But this is when we saw a huge explosion of actual games and applications for PC. You had this huge explosion of games and everything like that. Then obviously, as computers got along, this all went away. But they put over 10,000 Amiga titles online, and most of them are playable within your browser.
Which is sweet.
So if you want to do any retro gaming or even like use like an old retro program that you maybe may have used years ago, you can go on here, you can search it, and you can play it. It's kind of cool.
Or go back and code some old school games.
Yeah, or whatever it may be, you can kind of do it with this. And it's super cool. I really like what the Internet Archive is doing lately. Just putting things that we remember online and making them accessible. This is like... go in the library and looking at old newspapers or whatever it may be. This is kind of like our version of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of these games were actually designed for PC before they became super popular on consoles. So like Bubble Bobble was like a huge console game, was developed first on here. Double Dragon, Lemmings is like another one too. There's like a lot of old stuff over here. You want to see like the first versions of these games, and actually kind of play them, it'd be kind of cool.
what inspired the people that make your games now, essentially.
Yeah. So definitely check it out. We have the link to the entire archive, and you can search through it and see if there's anything cool there you want to check out. And that is it for news this week. We'll talk about what we have coming up next week. We have three pretty cool reviews. First, you'll be taking a look at Corsair's ML120 cooling fans. We already launched this review, but then we had an issue with the fans. So we redid it, and it will be coming out next week. That's Corsair's. The ML stands for magnetic levitation, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And you got them in all three colors, red, white, and blue, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. And I'll be taking a look at the Tessoro Gram Spectrum keyboard. I'm actually using it right now, sitting right in front of me. And I have the white edition, which if you've never seen a white keyboard, it's actually pretty cool. And this is a really interesting keyboard because, you know, when it comes to RGB lighting, that's usually reserved for gaming keyboards. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't see RGB lighting on normal keyboards. It just doesn't happen. And Tessoro kind of saw that, and they came out with this keyboard that's mainly made for typing and all that kind of stuff. And you can obviously play games on it. I've played some games on it. But it doesn't have mechanical switches or anything like that.
Standard use deck.
Yeah. But the thing is, adding RGB lighting to anything makes it pretty awesome.
Yeah.
This is all individual key lighting. It's really awesome. I have it doing the rainbow thing that you kind of see all the time on RGB keyboards. And it's just cool. And everybody that I've showed it, they all want it. They think it's super awesome. And it being white, it makes the backlighting look so much better.
Yeah, but it just pops like right away.
Yeah, it's super, super cool. So I'll be taking a look at that. And I'll be taking a look at the Amped Wireless REC22P. That's a horrible product name. That is their AC1200 Wi-Fi range extender, and these are super convenient in your home because your Wi-Fi doesn't always reach, or it gets really the quality gets really poor, obviously, as further away you get from your router, especially in like my building, which is older, have these really like concrete walls to kind of go through. It's just hard. So this is their range extender, which gives you obviously more coverage. This one is actually pretty cool because it has USB power port and it has pass-through power. So when you plug it in, you're not actually losing a power port, you know.
That's yeah.
And I haven't tested it yet, but they said that it extends Wi-Fi coverage up to 11,000 square feet, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's a big space.
Yeah. And it looks like there's a lot of cool technology built into it. It has eight high power amplifiers and two high gain antennas inside. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in this, which I was really.
It's a lot more than the average extender, essentially.
Yeah, it seems to be. I haven't done all my testing on it yet, but it seems to be. It's built really well, so I'm excited to take a look at that too. So that is that's what's coming next week.
Nice.
Now we always talk about it at the end of each podcast. Did you do anything fun this week?
I don't think so.
Did you go see what's that new movie that came out?
Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
I heard it was bad.
Yeah, I heard it was bad. I heard it was good. I heard it was bad again.
Yeah.
I haven't had time.
Yeah, I haven't had time either. I haven't seen it. I actually thought about going to see it, but then I didn't.
Yeah. I do have a new game installed. I just haven't played it yet. Inside, which is kind of, it's a side-scroller.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's supposed to be really good, but I haven't had time.
I haven't really played any games this week. Just tested the graphics card and obviously that SSD, and just trying to try. You know, we sound like really boring people, but like obviously, Derek, you had a bike race, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I biked a lot.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So like, we don't just like sit around and do nothing, but like, you don't want to hear every week that like I went wakeboarding and he went road. But we're trying to talk about like tech related things, but we do have lives outside of tech.
So, little ones, but they're
yes fine. But that will pretty much wrap up the podcast, guys. As always, we'll have a full show notes page that will have everything that we talked about. So if I'm like, check out the article or check out the mod this week from Case Mod Friday, you can go ahead and check that out. So until next week, catch you guys later.